I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union is always looking for ways to save their members time and money, which is why they offer completely free checking with convenient options for banking on the go. Manage your accounts online, access over 55,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide, and easily deposit checks from your phone with their mobile app. Visit www.pimafederal.org to learn about the many ways their members save. Pima Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. As always, we are Justin Spears and Dominic Pacheco. Don, we are back in the studio, and Bruce Pasco is back in Tucson. He was out there in Maui enjoying some sunshine and basking in rainbows, as Bill Walton puts it. That was one of the most wackiest broadcasts ever, by the way. Was that...
Which one? The Auburn one?
Yeah, the Auburn one. I mean, maybe it was because it was the very last game of the Maui Invitational, and Bill Walton was like, you know what? This is my 81-point game. This is my Super Bowl. I get to go out here and say the wackiest lines ever.
Well, he was sick the whole week, too.
Oh, so he had a lot of energy.
And he said he was feeling, at the beginning of that Auburn game, he said he was feeling better, almost back to full strength. So he had to be feeling himself. He was on another level. Bruce Pasco is back in Tucson. I think he took a red eye, or it was a red eye for us. By the time he was getting on a flight, it was like 1 in the morning here. Mm-hmm. I think Hawaii's 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
So crazy. It was a long day for Bruce. The only way he can get back for Thanksgiving. So happy holidays, by the way. Can you say that over Thanksgiving, happy holidays? Because when you say that, it kind of makes me think Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah, I think you could say that.
Because like, I was saying happy holidays to people in the newsroom on Thursday, and it made me think, I was like, wait a minute. Am I wrong in saying that? Like, well, I mean, it is a holiday.
Technically, I don't say happy holidays until the day after Thanksgiving. Because you don't know what people celebrate. You can't say Merry Christmas and it's like, well,
right, I guess
I
that's,
celebrate Kwanzaa, okay, or Hanukkah.
So I guess that's why you say happy holidays. It's just because you don't know what people celebrate. Okay.
Generic.
Well, no, okay. Well, happy holidays now. We'll throw Thanksgiving into that. Happy holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating.
Yeah.
Whether you're putting up Christmas decorations at the end of November. By the way, what's your take on that?
It's dumb.
When do you put up Christmas decorations?
I don't put up Christmas decorations until maybe December 10th. You know, I give it a whole week at least. And that's just, I'm not a super decorations guy.
I feel that.
I like setting up the tree, mm-hmm, like putting up the ornaments on the tree and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I always help out my mom putting
with
up
your
lights
family.
And stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just over time, we got to the point where it's like decorations are just too much to put up. We stopped putting lights on the roof. We stopped doing that when I got into high school, and then my parents were like, you know what? We're just going to throw a bunch of lights on the the gravel, and then like, that's it. We're going to have an inflatable penguin.
Call it a day.
That's
the inflatable toys are toys. The inflatable like figures are the easy way out, because you just plug them in and you're good. Boom, Christmas decorations, and you're going to be better than anyone else on the street because it's the biggest thing. It's the first thing you see. Mm-hmm. Now, growing up, I think we picked up our tree like the first Sunday of December. So, like,
but that's good.
December. No, absolutely.
It's December. So, Dom.
It's also college basketball season.
I was going to say, since we're talking about Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to Sean Miller and the Arizona Wildcats, because they just landed a big-time recruit in 4-star power forward Zeke Najee.
We'll go with that for now.
How do you roll the J?
I was going to let you get into it, so I let you butcher it, however we're saying it. But no, that's Najee?
Yeah, Najee.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Mm. I don't know how else you could pronounce it.
Tomato, tomato.
That's what we're rolling with. I haven't heard anyone say it yet, so... Mm.
But he's big-time. 6'11 power forward at size to Arizona, and he's a 4-star guy, and his commitment makes Arizona's recruiting class right now, of course, kids still have to commit, but right now Arizona has the number one ranked recruiting class for 2019, which I never thought we'd ever say. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. I knew that Sean Miller and his staff that he's going to pull together, I still thought that they were going to recruit at a high level, but I mean, with this whole cloud, again, we don't know anything about what's going to happen moving forward with this federal investigation.
Or the NCAA, who's now actively investigating it, or at least was given the green light by the FBI.
There's just this dark cloud, you know, this stain that Arizona can't seem to rub away. And apparently these guys are talking to Sean Miller, and Miller's like, hey, guys, listen, we're going to be fine. We're still one of the premier college basketball programs in the country. If you want to be put on a national stage and be wanting one of the best teams, not only in the Pac-12, but in the West Coast, kids like that. And for him to go out and get a guy like Zeke Nagy, who I honestly, I've been talking to some recruiting guys that do this often and are just really embedded into that scene. They told me that it's kind of a surprise that Zeke Nagy went to Arizona. They didn't think that he was going to go to Arizona at all. They thought, okay, it's either going to be Jeremiah Robinson Earl or Zeke Nagy. Well, Robinson Earl then committed to Villanova. And then Zeke Nagy took a visit to North Carolina.
Official visit. North Carolina, Kansas. Did he take an official to Purdue? I don't know. I know he was considering Purdue.
UCLA,
and,
too.
UCLA was the other one. So big schools. I mean, big-time schools they took official visits to.
Yeah. But now they have five commits: Nico Mannion, Terry Armstrong, Josh Green, Nagy, and then the three-star center, Christian Coloco. So an abundance of guys. You have your couple five-stars, and then Terry Armstrong, your four-star, and Zeke Nagy. Well, by the way, Armstrong and Nagy are both four-stars, and then Christian Coloco, the three-star guy. An impressive recruiting class for Sean Miller. But looking ahead, Dom, this roster next season is going to get interesting. Because, man, do they have a lot of guys.
They're three over the scholarship limit right now. They got 15 guys. If everyone came back, they have 15 on scholarship next year over the 13 minimum. Or 13 maximum, sorry.
Yeah.
So they're over the limit right now. You know, guys are going to leave. Someone in their class now might go to the NBA, might decommit. I mean, whatever happens, someone might leave, whether it's Chase Jeter. Outside of Jeter, I don't know who else would leave on this roster for the NBA.
Well, because the given is Justin Coleman and Ryan Luther. That's just because those guys are seniors.
Yeah, they're both gone. But no, that taken into account. So if everyone were to return next year who is on scholarship, taking those two out of the equation, they're still two over the limit.
It's
the opposite problem Sean Miller had last year. I mean, if we were sitting here having this conversation a year ago, we can go back and find a podcast where we had the same conversation last year, and Arizona didn't have a single guy. I mean, maybe Sharif O'Neal and Brandon Williams at a time before they both decommitted, but we're in a completely different time now. And you talk about that cloud. I want to go back to that for a second because it's kind of different, than it was last year. We're kind of in a wait and see mode now, whereas opposed to last year, everything was just coming out. It was brand new. It was fresh. It was
keyword fresh.
Yeah,
emotional.
You like that? Fresh.
It's just like would you say it was a cut, a big gashing cut last year, and now it's a scab?
It was a flesh wound last year,
and now it's a scab.
And now it's a scab. It's kind of scabbed over. Look, it's a lot easier for them, I think, now. I don't know what they're telling them. I mean, whatever Sean Miller and company are saying is obviously working, but I think it's a lot easier to sell guys now that we're kind of in wait and see mode than it was to convince guys right after the reports came out, when people can kind of jump to their own conclusions and you didn't really know that much. We're not saying that we know a lot now, but it's a different cloud that you talk about. There's definitely still a cloud. I think it's like I can't even remember cloud names. I'm not even going to try to guess. You remember learning about clouds in school?
It's a no for me, dog.
What I was originally going to say, it's more of a gray cloud now than they were. I mean, they were the darkest clouds you could have possibly had over the program last year, and I think they're finding ways to work around it now. Again, a lot can change between now and the spring signing period, which, by the way, is when Zeke will be able to sign. Right now, he can sign non-binding scholarship offers, similar to how Sharif O'Neal, and I don't know if Brandon Williams did last year. I know Sharif did last year, that allow you to back out. The four commits that signed last week for Arizona in the early signing period, they're all on board. So pending any kind of sanctions or investigation findings, they are locked in for the U of A, where Zeke cannot sign official papers that lock him in until the spring. Again, he can sign non-binding scholarship papers now. But look, it's a huge win for Sean Miller. I mean, they got the number one recruiting class in 2019 right now, and they weren't even on the radar a year ago at this time. So I think it's, and again, I one of the biggest things it does is it shows people, and we were to this point a while ago when people started recruiting, you know, when they had Nico Manning and some of the big four or five star guys commit. But again, Zeke just affirms to other recruits out there that, hey, Arizona's all right.
Yeah.
You can come commit here. You can come play here. They're all right. Mm-hmm. And they got the number one recruiting class. So, I mean, above anyone else, USC's number two. And that's even a bigger part of it is that it's not like it's just the rest of the Pac-12's not doing anything. I mean, you had UCLA and Oregon were among, the top three or five in the nation this year.
Yep.
In recruiting. And then USC is number two. They were they were at least number one in Pac-12. Were they number one today?
They were number one.
In the country?
Going into National Signing Day. Okay. And now with Zeke Nagy, it elevates Arizona.
Well, right. Okay. So yeah, but USC is still number two. So it's huge for Sean Miller. You know, direct rivals in the conference, obviously same recruiting territory as USC, UCLA, a lot of these same schools. So it's a big win for Sean Miller and company today.
Zeke Nagy is from Hopkins, Minnesota. First of all, how many Minnesota basketball players are relevant? How many players have ever come out of Minnesota? The only ones I could think of are Tyus Jones. He's currently playing for the Timberwolves right now. He went over to Duke, and his brother, Trey Jones, is currently playing for Duke. They're from Minnesota, I think Apple Valley, Minnesota. Mm. Outside of that, I just know Minnesota for the Vikings and Prince. And now
that's not bad company.
Yeah, seriously. But now Zeke Nagy, he's coming over and adding. He just adds a lot to Arizona, and from what I've heard about him is he's going to be a guy that can step in right away. I don't think he's going to start. A lot of people were kind of egging on me a little bit when I tweeted out the possibility of Arizona's rotation next season. And I put Zeke Nagy coming off the bench for Ira Lee. And people were like, oh, Zeke Nagy's not coming off the bench for Ira Lee. And I said, listen, this is an unofficial.
It's an unofficial list in November 27 or 2018. We're talking about the 2019 roster here. Like, look, what if Ira Lee goes off this year? Then what are you going to say?
We haven't even started Pac-12 play.
Exactly. Then what are you going to say? It's early. And again, they have 15 guys on the 13 scholarship maximum. So you don't know what's going to happen.
So, I mean, looking at this so far from what we've seen,
right?
If you had a gamble on who's going to leave, somebody's got to leave, or do they take away Jake Desjardins' scholarship, which I think is kind of messed up. It's like, hey, we're going to put you on scholarship for a year, but we got to take that away because we got this four-star, five-star guy coming in.
It's certainly an option. I don't see them doing that. I think that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, it is, because he's paying for school now.
Right. Well, he's on scholarship now, so he's not anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, then, you know, you just say, nah, we got these other guys coming in.
On second thought, we're going to get that scholarship back.
At that point, if you're Jake, do you just say, forget this, I'm out?
You want to say the other one. You're like, screw it, I'm out.
Screw it. I mean, it's tough to say who would leave, who would transfer. I mean, it's all hearsay at this point. It's entirely speculation because you don't know. I mean, we have a whole season ahead of us. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
No. Especially now. It's...
Right. It's way too early. You don't know what the rotation is going to look like, you know, a month from now.
But Brandon Randolph, man. I mean, if he continues to...
Oh, he's been on fire.
Continue to grow as a player, you could honestly see a guy like him being mentioned as a possible maybe early second-round pick. Early to mid second round pick. He's not a first round pick talent for sure.
No.
But
not yet.
I mean, he could climb his way up the draft boards. And Chase Jeter, another guy like that. You know, he's a McDonald's All American.
Chase Jeter. I mean, if anyone gets drafted on Arizona right now, if we had to bet on anyone, it would be Chase Jeter.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Not even close. I mean, I think, and that's if Chase Jeter goes. You know, that's still a big if.
He'll come back.
Right. and which is ridiculous. If I mean, 2 years of Chase Jeter is a huge would be a huge steal for Arizona. It's way too early to tell. Yeah. You look at it, you look at a guy like Dutry, who you know, hasn't gotten a lot of minutes and hasn't been part of the rotation, but
he's like the player of the fans. So many fans love Devin Aaron. I think it's just because of his name.
Devin Aaron is a good name. Look, when they signed him, I don't know if I was talking to you or our editor Ryan Finley about it. I love the name Devin Aaron.
Devin Aaron.
We still might be butchering his last name too. We're not good with names.
I heard Bruce Pascoe say Dutrive.
Dutrive. It's definitely not.
I mean, man,
look, I trust Bruce Pascoe. Maybe he's right, but I've never said it that way.
It's like, yeah. When I first heard Bruce say that, I was like,
Dutrive. And what does Ryan say?
I've heard him say Dutrive.
Dutrive.
Well, you know what? That's a good question for Sean Miller in the next press conference. Sean,
how do you pronounce Devin Aaron's name?
This guy's last name. But since we're talking about the current roster, these guys just coming back from Maui took fourth place in the Maui Invitational after falling to Gonzaga in the semifinals and then Auburn in the third place game. But you look at how they came out of that tournament, it was about what I expected it to be. Remember last year when they went down to the Bahamas, the expectations were, oh, they're going down to DeAndre Ayton's hometown. They're going to wipe out everybody that even comes close to facing them. And what happened? They got tossed around. Mm-hmm. They went to Maui, and they were up by, was it 20, or not 25. They got outscored by 25 points in the second half, but they were up by 8 points at halftime over the number 3 team in the country, who ended up being Duke the next day. Then the following day, they go up against number 8 Auburn, who's very guard heavy, much like Arizona. I thought they were going to hang tough, but Auburn, they proved why they're a top 10 team in the country. Arizona struggled. I'm not going to say that, oh, we should look at this as a great opportunity for Arizona. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. It was a good opportunity for them to get better as a team and improve on the court because, let's face it, Gonzaga and Auburn are much different than Houston Baptist and Chaminade and the Cal Polys of the world. So they were able to go up against some top-notch talent, see where they're at, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think they're at a much better place than I thought they would be at this point of the season. Because honestly, the way that Iowa State game looked at first, I was like, these guys aren't going to win. And then they just gutted out that game. And then the next two games, they looked decent. But again, basketball, you got to be able to play a complete game. It can't be a tale of two halves, and that's what Arizona did in Maui.
The win over Iowa State, I think in the long run, will be understated. It won't be talked about enough because that changes the entire feeling of what Arizona did in Maui. You lose to Iowa State. I don't know off the top of my head who they would have played the next day, but it's an entirely different tournament for Arizona. Beating Iowa State is huge for them because they got to play two ranked teams. And let's be honest, they got 16 and 17 point losses in those two games, by the way, to Gonzaga and Auburn. Respectively, or was it 17 to Gonzaga? Regardless, 16, 17 point losses were a lot worse than they ended up on paper. The 16, 17 point losses were not indicative of how Arizona played. Gonzaga hung with them. Arizona was ahead for most of the first half and came out and did not play well in the second half whatsoever. And it showed in the end result, but played much better than the deficit at the end of the game. And you could say the same thing with Auburn. I don't think they were ever really in control with Auburn. They were just kind of hanging around, kind of holding on, trying to make it a game. But still, the end result, 16-17 point loss, whatever it was not indicative of how Arizona played. I thought they played much better than that. But you said it, Justin. Look, the win over Iowa State is big because they got to play two ranked teams, and what should have happened against those two ranked teams. No one expected Arizona. I know. They got beat by two better teams, two of the better teams in the country. Auburn won the SEC last year, were expected to make a big run before they lost to Clemson in the second round of the tournament, who then made a deep run. And look, you lose to Gonzaga. Bullet point number one, and what I learned in Maui overall, Gonzaga is the best team in the country.
Yeah.
They're the best team in the country. Look, I did not think that Duke, and I've told you this, I've told Ryan Finley this, I did not think there was a legitimate part of me that thought Duke wouldn't lose a game this year.
They were untouchable. They looked like it, at least.
I thought they were going to make a run like Kentucky did a couple years ago, and I thought they were going to finish it. I did not think they were going to lose. Because they're that talented. They got four guys, at least three guys who were top three recruits. They have a fourth guy who's a five-star recruit. I mean, their entire starting lineup, you take any one of those five players, stick them on another roster, any roster in the country, they're the best player on the team.
Absolutely.
You can make that argument. Mm-hmm.
And while the four guys, Reddish, Barrett, and Zion, and Jones, those guys are all in the same class. They're five-star recruits. Mm-hmm. Where a couple years ago, Marquise Bolden was a five-star center.
And Marquise Bolden, the fact that Marquise Bolden is the fifth best player on that team, give me a break.
I'm telling you.
And Gonzaga beat him.
They're the Golden State Warriors.
They're the Golden
basketball.
State Warriors, and Gonzaga beat him. Right now, it's the best team Mark Few's ever had. I'm huge on Duke. I think if anyone had to pick a national champion right now, I think it's Duke. Mm-hmm. I would argue Gonzaga right now.
Good thing for Gonzaga, though, is since they play in the WCC, that they're going to go undefeated in non-conference play, and then they're just going to just wreck everybody
that stands in their way. And that's why this tournament was so big for them, because they have that win now. No one can devalue what they do this year. If they go undefeated the rest of the year, no one can say, well, you haven't played anyone. They beat Duke. They beat Duke. Well, I mean, look, you can say this is one of the best teams, if not the best team Mark Few's ever had. This is one of the best teams Coach K's ever had.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, I think you can say that. It's not unfair to say that.
No.
You can make that argument. No. It's early. I understand that. But it is one of the most talented. When has Coach K ever had three of the four or four, whatever it is? How all those guys he has at the top of the recruiting class that committed to Duke. How has that ever happened?
No.
I don't think it's ever happened. And Coach K has it. That's scary. And Gonzaga beat him.
He's taken what John Calipari established at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And realized, well, this is what I got to do in order to win at the college basketball level. And he's doing it. Coach K is thriving right now. And Gonzaga beat those MFers.
Beat them. Who was it? Rui Hachimura, who said, was that before or after the championship game when he said that he was the best player in the country? Gonzaga's the best team in the country?
Oh, man. Was that the
I think it might have been right after.
Was that the 90? Oh, it was after the game?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the 94 feet with like Jay Billis when they were on the beach. No.
Oh, that was classic. You weren't Bill Walton. I thought this was going to be Bill Walton. Yeah. Who are you? That was great. No, look, they got Josh Perkins, who's a 312th year senior. They got Zach Norvell. They got Hachimura. They're good. Mark Few is as good a coach as any. And like you said, they're not going to lose many games the rest of the year, but they beat Duke. I mean, it is tough to undersell that. They're one of the best, if not the best, teams in the country. I mean, as good as Duke is, Gonzaga's right there with them, probably ahead of them. Mm-hmm. I know I'm probably contradicting myself. I think I've called Duke the best team in the country on this podcast like three different times now and keep saying Gonzaga's better than them. But look, I mean, that's the top thing I learned was Gonzaga. But sorry, getting off track here, going back to Arizona basketball, I don't know if I ever finished my train of thought here. That was the big thing in Maui, was that no one expected them to beat Gonzaga or Iowa State or Auburn. And yet, if I had told anyone, I mean, if you had told Sean Miller going into the game that, hey, you would be beating Gonzaga, or you'd be beating Gonzaga in the first half and then be down by, you know, five down the stretch, I think you would have taken that in a heartbeat. I think anyone on the Arizona roster would have taken that in a heartbeat. And if I said, hey, okay, you lost that game, now you're going to go toe-to-toe with Auburn for 40 minutes, or 35, until I guess Auburn started to pull away by double digits, I think they all would have taken that. They got beat by two better teams. The important part there is that they got experience, and they played the two best teams they're going to play until March.
And they got a good experience because Chase Jeter fouled out. They experienced life, which, by the way, I don't think he deserved to be fouled out. He got tossed for just kind of expressing his frustration on the court, and the official blew the whistle and gave him a tech, which was his last foul. But they experienced life without Chase Jeter, which is something that they're going to have to become accustomed to, because I promise you, this won't be the first time it happens. It's going to happen somewhere down the line. And another thing that I was really surprised about was Justin Coleman. Scored 28 points in that game against Gonzaga. And I tweeted this out, and I guess this is a good segue to our the conclusion of the podcast, is – I thought Justin Coleman, you look at him, you're like, oh, he's short. He's my height. He's really good at passing. Yeah. Okay. Parker Jackson Cartwright. You automatically think that PJC. And then you say, oh, well, PJC. And I hate that I'm like bagging on, I'm not bagging on PJC, but PJC didn't get it done last year towards the end. Mm-hmm. He was a good point guard for what he was, but
for what he was.
The, yes, exactly. But this guy, Justin Coleman, again, it's just a couple games. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Justin Coleman, fantastic point guard. Where was this guy all along? But 28 points against Gonzaga? And then he followed it up. He had another double-digit performance. It wasn't nearly 28 points, right, but I think it was like 17 or something like that.
He had 18, 16, and 28. I don't know if the Auburn game was 18 or 16.
Either or. That's for what, right, he we thought he was going to be.
He averaged 20.6 in the three games, made the all-tournament team, averaged 20.6 to lead all scorers Arizona.
I'm starting to see a little bit more Mark Lyons than Parker Jackson Cartwright.
And you said that that was your original tweet. That's what sparked this whole conversation. But I love that comparison. I think he's even going, I mean, again, small sample size. If he continues doing this, he's going to be better than Mark Lyons. Would be my argument.
Mark Lyons was good. He was really good.
Mark Lyons was really good. Absolutely.
So we asked people on the Wildcaster Twitter account, and again, it's from November 1st, right around 11:10 p.m. That's when the tweet was published. That's at the Wildcaster. We said, question for Twitter: which former UVA player does Justin Coleman remind you of? And man, Twitter showed out for this one. I thought Twitter did a nice job showing out for this. We got a nice blend. Parker Jackson Cartwright. Somebody said Kenny Lofton, which I thought was pretty interesting. Got Mark Lyons.
Baseball Kenny Lofton or basketball? Or the basketball version.
Oh, basketball.
I want to see Justin Coleman play baseball. Can he be the two-sport athlete? That's how you know he's really Kenny Lofton.
Another person said Jason Gardner. And it wasn't just one person. It was like three or four people that said, you know, I see a little bit more of Jason Gardner in him. And then I thought this was perfect, and I don't know why I didn't think of this. Somebody said Nick Wise.
I was just looking at that. I was just going to say Nick Wise. Kyle Fogg is on that list, too. I think Nick Wise is a good call.
Yeah. He's not Kyle Fogg.
No, he's not Kyle Fogg. No. It was just in the same tweet that was mentioned with Nick Wise. So Nick Wise, Jason Gardner, and Kyle Fogg from Eric Sorensen on Twitter. Lauren Woods.
Yeah. That's a troll.
A little confused there.
It's like two complete extremes.
Nick Wise. A lot of people saying Nick Wise. Momo?
Yeah.
Momo's a good call?
Momo, I don't necessarily compare him to Momo. Maybe that's just because of their attitude. Momo was a guy that's like, I'm up in your face and I'm going to come at you. He's a dog. Mm-hmm. I don't think Justin Coleman is really a dog. He's aggressive, and he can score the rock a little bit. But
I think you can say the same thing about someone said. I just saw the tweet here. How has nobody said Jason Terry? I think I would put him in that same category. Jason Terry's a little bit more in your face than Justin Coleman ever will be.
And Terry was a really good defender. Mm-hmm. He led the Pac-12 in steals his freshman season at Arizona. You know, so Justin Coleman's not doing that. But I mean, all good comparisons from Twitter. Thought, you know, PJC was what we thought he'd be. Mm-hmm. And it turned out he's got a little bit more to his game other than just being a facilitator. He can score the rock when he can. And if he's feeling it.
You talking PJC or Justin Coleman?
Justin Coleman.
Okay. Coleman. Okay.
You know, Sean Miller always said PJC is one of the best shooters on the team. And we saw flashes of it every now and then. You know, there would be a couple games where he would hit like back-to-back three-pointers. But Justin Coleman in that second half against Gonzaga, it was just constant, and he was so consistent throughout the game. Now the question is, can you put that together moving forward? Because they're going to have to rely on him a lot moving forward.
I said early in the year that if Brandon Randolph is Arizona's leading scorer at the end of the year, they're going to be in pretty good shape. I think that even more so about Justin Coleman, because if Justin Coleman keeps scoring like he has, and he has the additions of, you know, the offense brought to you by Brandon Williams and by Brandon Randolph, I guess really that's it as far as offensive production that we've seen out of Arizona. But if Justin Coleman can keep doing what he's doing on offense, and again, it's weird because his breakout in Hawaii came after, I mean, he had good games the first couple in McHale Center, but nothing like what we saw in Maui. No. So that's why we say it's early. He's got to keep it going. I like your Mark Lyons stats, or your Mark Lyons comparison, so much that I looked up his stats, his 1 year at Arizona. Averaged 15.6 points, 2.8 assists, and what did he shoot? Shot 43% from the field, 33% from three. That's where I think Justin Coleman can be better. If he can continue what he did in Maui, I think he can be a better shooter than Mark Lyons.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to average around 15. If he does, I think that's great.
Hell
like
yeah.
I said, if he's Arizona's leading scorer at the end of the year, I think they're in a great position. But I think Justin Coleman can be better than Mark Lyons. I think I like the comparison because they're kind of the same gritty, shifty kind of player on offense. Mm. I think Coleman is even better with the ball. I think he's better at distributing the ball. As we saw in Maui, he had a lot of assists too. I'll go back and he averaged 3 assists a game, 5-1-3. So he can get the people hit the rock. And again, that's big if Brandon Randolph and Brandon Williams and those guys keep scoring. Arizona's going to need them because their bigs aren't deep at all. So they're going to need guys like Justin Coleman to step up.
Arizona, they only have 2 non-conference road games, true road games, moving forward at UConn and at Alabama. But coming up next on November 29th, which is a Thursday, 7 p.m. at McHale Center, Arizona will take on Georgia Southern. I feel like there's a Georgia Southern alum, a famous guy.
We're going to have to look that up. I think you're right.
R.J. Hunter.
R.J. Hunter, exactly.
His dad
was the one who fell out of the chair. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, he had like a broken leg or something. Wasn't he like on a scooter? Okay. Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. That was going to bother me. I'm glad you thought of that.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Wildcaster. Like us on Facebook. Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and make sure you subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts and you download the Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union is always looking for ways to save their members time and money, which is why they offer completely free checking with convenient options for banking on the go. Manage your accounts online, access over 55,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide, and easily deposit checks from your phone with their mobile app. Visit www.pimafederal.org to learn about the many ways their members save. Pima Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.